Hey, welcome to CJC Life Church. We follow the heart, we build for the King, we leave a path, eternity is the thing.
That's awesome. All right, let's go ahead and pray before we read God's word. Close your eyes, we're going to pray. Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for giving us the opportunity to reflect on your word and learn and grow and also become a disciple of Christ. And I pray for every one of us here, Lord. Let this word sink in their hearts and be a blessing to everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. 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 So we started this series called Imperfect Family. You know, if you have a perfect family, welcome to Imperfect Family. You know, somebody told me, like, I'm looking for a perfect church. Good luck with that, because the moment when you walk into the church, it will become an imperfect church. No, I didn't say that, but I thought about it. I didn't say that. I wanted to say it. But, you know, we all see the imperfection in so many ways, in so many layers. So last week, we talked about illusion of a parenting. Hopefully, you're able to follow through and learn something. And if you missed it, the video is available on YouTube. And Pastor Mike Kraft, who plays a major role in the South Asia State of Texas Orphan Initiative, that which we are partnering and a part of that, set the tone. And today's the third message on this imperfect family. And I was kind of going through, I have like total like eight messages for the four message series. So I'm trying to pick the best that fits in our, you know, context and culture. So today's message, we title is Fighting Fair. And then I'll put that on the side note, the shepherd parent. And you will learn at the end what the shepherd parent look like. But fighting fair is where I'm going to be focusing on. And if you have a, you know, smartphone, you can scan the QR code. You're able to see multiple language sermon notes. If I miss something or if I miss a read a scripture, at least the notes have a better version of than me preaching. So hopefully you can use it and reuse it, repurpose it, post it. You know, go for it, whatever. We put a lot of effort to give it to guys so you guys can use it for all those great things. So we're going to be doing like a one particular story that's going to, you know, really help us to process. And I want you to know before we're going to dive into, you know, when you read the Bible, when you see the stories, don't try to replicate them before you process it. Because a lot of times I want to be like Joseph. And you don't know what Joseph had to go through to become a Joseph. Somebody says, I want to be like a Paul. You don't know what Paul had to go through before he became a Paul. Or somebody say, I want to be Esther. I want to be Ruth. And I get it. But again, when we are studying scriptures, when we're reading scriptures, we get tempted to put ourselves quickly in the Bible. But I recommend you to process it. Allow the word of God cleanse and purify and reassess and bring you into a great perspective first. And then you can like, I want to become that person. I want to be that person, you know, all that. So, you know, I used to grow up that liking horses a lot. I love horses. But from the distance, only on the pictures and the movies. And I love the horses. And lately, I'm touching them. Recently, I was in Colorado. You know, first time I made a decision, I want to touch and talk to the horse. So, you know, when you go the horseback ride, they give you horses. And each horse has a name. And based on your height, based on your weight, they pick the horse for you, right? So there's one guy, poor guy, he's tiny guy, and they picked him a pony. He's like, this is not fair. I don't want a pony. I want a horse, a big horse. But the guy was saying, well, if you sit on the big horse, it is going to take off running, thinking, you know, the weight balance is not really well. So anyway, so I was sitting on my horse, and my horse name is Montana. And I was just talking to that horse. And whenever the horse goes a little bit crazy, and I said, Montana is going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're going to do good. And I've never done, you know, Mount Princeton climbing on a horse. And I walked, you know, trails. But on a horse, I thought it was interesting. So these horses were trained so well. Man, they're going through edges all the time. Like you can look down and it, you start, if we have a fear of heights, which I do sometimes, and I'm looking down, I'm like, Lord Jesus, I don't want to die right here in Mount Princeton, and I have a long way to go, Lord. So I'm praying in my tongues, and I'm telling my horse, Montana, please don't open the door for me to go to heaven here. I'm not ready yet. You gotta keep marching. And at one point, Montana slipped a left leg. You know, half of her body slipped a slide a little bit. I thought I was gone. I'm gonna see Jesus in 30 seconds. I said, Lord, please take care of my wife, Diana, and Lily. I'm ready to go. But some reason I had to pull it together. I said, no, Montana, we're not gonna die here. We're gonna go. We're gonna finish it. So all of a sudden, I felt this incredible energy about horses. Now I came back home, I was telling my wife, I think I'm loving horses. There's something about horses that I've learned and I'm studying now about horses, that your heart rate, they balance really well. And then there's, if you have any medical conditions, the horse coming close to your heart will soften, or some kind of neurological rhythms are aligning with those rhythms. I don't know if they're true or a fact or not. I'm still researching, but it's such a beautiful thing to learn about horses. But you know, some of the horses, they are so strong and focused, determined when it comes to fighting. When they're in the battlefield, they're trained, and that's why they cover them on the sides to keep their eyes on the target, and they run. I mean, they fight. We've seen in the movies that, you know, the horses play major role in battlefield back in the day, even now, and in all kinds of crazy things that horses can do. So as I was preparing for this message, I thought about, like, man, what a beautiful way to reflect on, you know, just becoming a fighting force as a horse prepares for the battle. You know, sometimes we all go through different kind of stages of battles, or different kind of stages of, you know, little fights, and sometimes we don't know why we had to go through it. But when we start processing it, understanding it, maybe God is preparing you to something bigger than what you're going through, you know, in life. You know, every single failure is not defined that you failed the task. Sometimes every failure can also define you're getting better at the process. You know, God had to lead you here to get you there. You have to fail here to get there so you understand why you got there, or why you have arrived. And that's where, you know, I want to kind of talk to you and I today, just to share some thoughts, and we're going to dive into this story that's going to help us to really understand some narratives, and hopefully we can draw some conclusions. Remember, this is not for you to know that, hey, I know I'm a fighter and I win all my fights. This is not for those that are thinking like, I don't like to fight, I'm going to avoid fighting. And I get it. We all are trying to avoid some kind of conflict. Nobody in this room loves conflict. If you love conflict, definitely you're in a different breed. But if you don't love conflict, you're with everybody else. So we all have that problem. But guess what? Life will lead us into fights. Life will somehow put you in the rooms where conflicts will happen. Life will push you in a journey that you can't avoid conflicts. That's just the way life is. Sometimes we get better through conflicts. Sometimes we get bitter through conflict. But my job is to lead us through conflict or fighting that you might be going through to get better at yourself. So this week, I already started stressing out because every time I have two qualities or dysfunction, whatever you want to call it, you call it. I'll put it out there so you can pray for me. I have two things that I really obsess with. Number one, wasting money is my obsession. I would hate if somebody wastes money. I would attack them. I would tell them that's wrong, that's evil, that's immoral. You know, that's just the way. I can't waste money, right? That's number one thing. Before I spend a dollar, I think through the dollar. Is this worth it? Do I need it? Do I want it? How do I need it? All that. And then number two is I hate to waste time. Time is my biggest commodity. What I've learned was, you know, if you lose money, you can make money. Somehow you can work hard, do that. But once you lose time, you lost it. And I feel sometimes my people who walked into church right after worship, they're like, you lost it, bro. I'm so sorry. You can't manifest at that time. You know, I am like, you know, when you say I'm going to meet up at 8 o'clock, I'm not leaving at home 8 o'clock, okay? Some people leave home 8 o'clock. I'm there by like 7:45, 7:20, sometimes 7:30, you know, whatnot, right? So Sundays, I wake up like 5:45, 6 o'clock, we have a prayer call, me, Elder Ross, and Pastor Kumar. We were praying in 30 minutes this morning. All right, Elder Ross, let's give a little round of applause that your people are praying. I mean, yeah, we don't just get up and say, yeah, we go to church. 6 a.m., Elder Ross was kasha da ba da 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 da, and then Pastor Kumar was da 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 bosha, and me, and we were, my wife and daughter can hear me pray. We pray, 30 minutes pray. After 30 minutes, get myself ready, my mind ready, my heart ready, my soul ready. I'm rocking it. I'm like, you know, that's how I do it. When I come here, I'm here by 9:30. If something going on, I might get here like by 10, but I never walk in 10:30, even the service starts 10:30. I feel for people who don't. This is not for everybody. If you're here in this room, tell me if you're there. If not, don't worry about it. You know, I don't know if it's a problem or not a problem. If your phone goes like 50% or low, you're looking for a charger. Anybody here? Anybody in this room? Okay, great. I have one. So some people love to wait until the phone dies and then they plug in. I can't live like that. It stresses me out. If I see like 40% is off in my bar, I'm looking for a charger. I have a charger everywhere, right? I'm charging myself constantly because that's just the way I think. I gotta be filled up with God's word, God's spirit, and time management, intentionality. All that is me. I'm just saying about me. You know, you may like it, you may not like it. I agree with you, I disagree with you, whatever. This is me, right? And that's how I roll. And when it comes to these two things, money and time, I fight internally, externally. There's some fights I fight with my wife, some fights I fight with myself. You know, I said, okay. And I remember a story, and I'm going to tell this story, and then I'll jump into content here. This was way early stages of my marriage. This was probably, I don't know, we just got married or we're going to get married that year. My wife said she likes this particular purse. I said, okay, you know, I don't know anything about purses. I walked into a mall, and I walked into this looking for the store. I don't even know where the store was, right? I asked the security guy, hey, where is this store? And then they said, well, you got to go straight down and make a left, and you're right next to that Apple store. I said, great. You know, I like Apple store, so I like just whatever. So I got up there, and I knew the purse that she wanted because she already gave me the description. And I looked at it. I said, I need the purse, and they gave me the price. And I pause, just like this. I said, I don't want your store. I want your purse. They said, no, sir, it is the purse price. I go, what? What is this purse made of? Is there a heaven in it? Or some kind of a, you know, gold? What is this? It's just the leather, sir. It's just, you know, Italian leather, whatever. And you know, I walked back and forth, Nick, like a lost puppy. Should I buy it? Should I not buy it? Should I buy it? Should I not? I don't think she needs it. Oh, yeah, she needs it. No, I don't think she needs it. Maybe she gets upset if we don't buy it. And I'm like going through back and forth. I got so frustrated. I said, all right, I'm just going to, you know, and that's when you become super religious at that moment. I'm going to walk by faith, right? I'm just going to walk by faith. So I bought it, and I got sick next 30 days. That I bought it, and then I gave it to my wife, and I gave a fake smile. Here you go, your gift. And then she's in a great, you know, moment or whatever. She loved it or whatever. And I couldn't eat next 30 days because of the cost of that. I mean, it's not like, you know, crazy back in the days. Now probably it's crazy, but I always fight within myself certain things about me, understanding, processing, learning and growing. So fight is good. It's not a bad thing. It makes us to think better. It makes us to think like where we need to go. So especially in Christ, conflicts, you know, will happen, whether you're a Christian, whether you're going to become a Christian, whether you are mature Christian, conflicts will happen. But conflicts does not have to destroy your home. Sometimes these little conflicts can destroy your relationships, your marriages, your children. And what I've learned through the conflict, that this grace of humility that I have to develop, it is hard at that moment. We don't want to be humble. We want to express our thought process. We want to let them know what we feel at the moment. We want to let them know injustice. We want to let them know that you're not considering me. We want to let them know this is not right. And that happens to all of us. But if we become the followers of Christ, conflicts will happen, but in conflict, humility is the way that we need to look for. Humility can turn a place where you are into grace that God can allow us to grow. And this is where I'm going with it. In the middle of the fight, in the middle of the conflict, how are we becoming so humble? You know, there's voices go in your head. When you become humble, you think they're taking advantage of you. When you become humble, you look weak to them. When you become humble, they think it's okay. All these voices can go, but again, the process is important. We allow the humility to ride us in the middle of conflict, in the middle of fighting, so that grace can come upon us and we get to see what God is doing. Because conflicts will continue the moment when we stop believing there's room for more grace. Conflict will continue. And how many times we see certain conflicts could end with the one conversation, two conversations, but certain conflicts will continue until, you know, days, months, and as long as, and there's sometimes we remember those conflicts rest of our life as well, because the pain that caused that conflict is not easily go away. So I want to encourage you guys to, you know, figure out, and today hopefully this will help us to figure out, conflict will continue the moment when we stop believing there is room for grace to give us more. So when we say, God, I want more grace, I believe more grace, the conflicts can slow down. So, you know, some of the conflicts can come when we walk in blessings, when we receive blessings. So blessing is good, but the blessing also comes with responsibility. God gives you children, which is a blessing. That's great. As the Bible teaches us, it's an inheritance that God gives us. But it also comes with the responsibility. It also comes with the burden. It also comes with the spiritual guidance. We got to do it. You know, I remember that when we first purchased this property, and we were all excited, the board of directors, everybody were excited, and then there was an issue going on with the, you know, with the bankers and other things. We became humble to go with whatever they asked us to do. We did it, because when we purchased the building, we didn't have a right to do the inspection. We didn't have a right to do a lot of things that normal people, you know, allowed them to do, because it was bankrupted before. So when they sold us as it is, which means you're gonna have to walk in and figure out whatever is working, whatever is not working. So we kind of, you know, contemplated, worried about what we're going to get into. But long story short, finally, you know, we signed everything. We walked in the building. We cut the ribbon. And the service is going on. Everything is going on. Back in the day when we were in West Avenue, we only have like two restrooms maybe. And from two, you can count all the restrooms we have in these two locations, right? And then boom, I'm preaching. I'm excited. I was thanking God for the blessing. And end of the service, we got the bad news. Every single one of toilets stopped working. So every blessing comes with a burden. And I'm like, you know, 30 minutes ago, we were on a top mountain cheering. Yeah, what's up? Oh, well, yeah, good. And then 30 minutes later, we're back in the valley. It's like, okay, how much is it going to cost? Well, we emptied the bank to buy the building. There is no dollar amount in the bank to fix the toilet. What do I do? All right, let me go to Home Depot. Let me get a credit card. So I got a credit card. I'm Pastor Philip Sundar's name, and I got to carry the burden, right? And get the credit card, buy the toilet. heads, fix them all out, and then all through the, you know, monthly they pay a little bit, whatever. So every single blessing associated with the burden, with the responsibility. And when we see that way, then we're not going to be confused. So blessing can crowd out a place. When God calls you to be blessing in your family, in your children, it could crowd that place, right? And this is where my story is going to begin, help us to, you know, understand some more details here. Genesis 13, verse 1 to 10, God gives us this beautiful narration about two characters that we're going to see here. And this character, he was not a father of many nations yet. He was still a follower of God's voice. And he's got a cousin, a nephew called Lot. And you see these two guys have both had a blessing journey. They both are walking together to walk into a blessing field. And something crazy happened here. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had. And Lot went with him. So Lot is his nephew. Abram had become very wealthy. Thank God for Abraham become very wealthy. God bless you, man. In livestock, in silver, in gold. From Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel. And Bethel is a place where, you know, it's called, the translation is house of God. You keep that on the side. We'll get back spiritually or theologically to talk about that Bethel. The place between Bethel and AI, not artificial intelligence, but there's also AI. Maybe that's what God is talking. I'm not sure. But there's a place called AI where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. So this is where God moved supernaturally in Abraham's life. Very first time when he built an altar, God gave him amazing things and great promises. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. I love that. Just remember, these things are so important in the details. Abraham called the name of the Lord. The Lord responded, and great. And all these things, like he's got a blessing going on. He's got a purpose going on. He's got a destiny going on. He's got a fire going on. His family is with him. He's got a silver. He's got a gold. He came to a place of a house of God. Everything good is going on so well, so awesome. And that's what we all want. That's why everybody prays for, that we want to be wealthy. We want to be healthy. We want to be, you know, relationally good. We want things to go well. And we want to serve God. We want to have a purpose and everything goes well. And also we want to, when we call upon the Lord, we want the Lord to hear us. And that's also happened to Abraham. The Lord called on his name. And in Abraham's side, everything going well. But he did not know something is about to happen. And watch this now. Every time when you read now in the text, you got to pause and say, what is this shift here? I got to pivot. Now Lot, who was moving with him about with Abraham, also had a flock, herd, and tents. And remember, Abraham had a silver, gold, but nephew had a, you know, flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together. For their possessions were so great, they were not able to stay together. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes abundance could cause strife. Sometimes so much to have stuff will also cause, you know, disagreements or fights. In this context, I'm not trying to put all of us in the story, but I want you to understand the story with me, that they had abundance. I mean, they have silver, gold, they have an altar, they have a worship going on, they have a house of God, they have a prayer going on, they have great things going on. And the nephew Lot was having a lot of flocks and herd, and but the land could not support them, and for their positions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And watch this, immediately the quarreling rose between Abraham's herds and Lot's. And the Canaanites, Perizzites, were living in the land at the time. The writer was inserting some theological perspective here. These Canaanites, Perizzites, are anti-Jewish people. Now, why do they call them Jews? The Jews' name came from a tribe called Judah. Judah is the author of Jews. So Judah means praisers. So the Canaanite Perizzites don't like praisers. So when Abraham and these people were, they're probably having a good time laughing and praising God and all that. They don't like it. They were, so what God is saying is, you already have enemies around you. And then there's a conflict within you. This is going to cause even major problem. Because this is not personal attack. This is a community attack. This is going to affect the whole community, not just the Abraham and Lot. And so Abraham, I love Abraham's wisdom, and I pray that we all can embrace that. This principle is good to adapt, right? Abraham said to Lot, he didn't talk to the other people that are causing chaos. He didn't talk to the individuals that are making mess. He said, all right, cousin, come on, let's go into the tent. Let's have a talk. Bring the chai, bring the tea. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk. So Abraham and Lot are having conversation. Let's not have this quarreling between you and me. See how Abraham pointed out that even though the dispute was between the people that were under Abraham, under Lot, but Abraham owned the ownership. Abraham owned it, that because God has given him grace to see that I'm not going to let this continue this way. He said, Abraham said, Lot, we shouldn't be having this kind of quarrel between you and me, between your herd and my herd. And watch this. This is where I underline. I'm not sure if we underline or not. Yeah, we are underlined. For we are close, what? Relatives. Abraham could see conflict, but Abraham can see even more better valuable relationship than conflict. So Abraham could see the strife, Abraham could see the dysfunction, but he said, I'm going to see we are more relatives than we're conflict. This simple principle saved my marriage. This is what? When I see something my wife does, when I see something she does, I do against her, when we do, we might have disagreement. We might have some things like, I don't like how you do it. Oh, but end of the day, it's not about the stuff. It's not about the things we do. End of the day, we are in relationship. We are close relatives. I like one translation says, we are close relatives. I want you to put that in the back of your mind as we go through this journey and understand we are close relatives. If not the whole, watch this, the whole land before, it says, if not the whole land before you, why don't you go just take, and Abraham said, let's part a company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You see, Abraham's grace is so beautiful. He's not even making decision. I'm going to this way, you go that way. No, he gave a first option to them, to the Lord. Lord, I get it, bro. And I know you love me and I love you too, nephew. Why don't you take whatever direction you want to go? And then the leftover, I take it. You take the whatever you want, I'll take the leftover. So I'll go left, you go, you know, I'll go whatever area you want me to go. Look around and saw that whole plan and the Jordan towards the Zor. So now Lot looks up. It's like, okay, it's a great idea. Let's do this. And Lot ends up going towards, you know, where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And we all know the story, what happened, Sodom and Gomorrah. That's another day to, you know, unpack that. But right now here, I want to focus on Abraham's grace. In other words, like Abraham humbled to allow the grace to come on him to lead the conflict. This is so beautiful. But Abraham did not know something beautiful will happen to him later on, right? Abraham knew that I see the conflict and I could argue with him that, hey, your people are wrong, my people are good, or look at, you know, I got a gold and silver, you only have a herd and a couple flock. Come on, man, get it together. I'm the one providing. He could have all those conversations. Like sometimes when we go to job and we make an income and the people that are making less income, we control their narrative. Like, I'm the one bringing the paycheck. What are you talking about? You need to listen to me. This kind of narrative. All of sometimes when we pay the bills and in a home, when there's a conflict, we have this attitude, I'm the one paying the bills. You should listen to me. That's not what Christ follower thinks like. That's what the world thinks like. If you're a follower of Christ, your first chair always should be humble chair, not the prideful chair. I don't care what you do. You might have a strength to go to work today, but God can turn that off overnight. What are you going to do? Right? We walk by faith or not, right? We are under the grace of God. So we got to have an attitude of, okay, I got you. I know you're the man. Abraham could do everything. I built the altar. God hears my prayer. I have the silver and gold. God put a finger on me to show you that I'm a blessed man and my family is with me. I got a great things going. Abraham has everything going on except this own concern. But at the moment, Abraham, no wonder why God picked Abraham. It's so important to understand why God picked certain people. It's not because their name is Abraham, because their attitudes are different. Their postures are different. So Abraham looked at Lot. Abraham is the one calls, we are relatives, Abraham, Lot. And I'm going to do this, Lot. I don't like this. We don't want this. Why don't you pick the side you want to go? And then I'll pick the leftover. It's a great place of humility to sit and allow the grace to come in. If you read the text further, Lot took off towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is the first time the family broke into two different pathways. And Lot goes this way and end up settling in Sodom and Gomorrah. Looks attractive, looks tempting. And Abraham said, all right, I'll go to see where God is going to lead me. And there's a place where God tells Abraham. When they were arguing, God did not speak to Abraham. God did not speak to Lot. When argument was settled, whoever were humble, to them God spoke. This is important. Because when they're arguing, God did not speak to none of them. But the argument was settled. Whoever took the humble chair is the one God spoke to. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham, now lift up your eyes. As far as you can see, I'll give it to you. Wait a minute. He's already blessed with the silver, gold, and everything. He doesn't need anything else. And we get sometimes nervous about, oh, we need to take from the rich and give to the poor. And I get that. I want that. I like the idea. But that's not what happened here. Even though you have stuff, your attitude is so important. When you find a humble heart, a humble place, when the conflict is resolved, God will speak to you. And when God spoke to Abraham, he said, as far as you want to see, I give it to you. And that was the free real estate Israelites still enjoying today, that Abraham could see as far as he could see, that God gave it to him. So the point is this, that in the middle of conflict, you have a choice to stand above or sit on a humble chair. It takes a lot of courage to be humble. When you're in a heated argument, it takes a lot of maturity to bite your tongue and suck it up and hold the passion. It takes a lot of inner work that you're working to shut your mouth. You want to say something? When you say it, it will be the World War III. You know it. You got it. You are a better fighter because you can win this fight. You know it. But you suck that into your heart. You say, God have mercy on my soul. It takes courage. And this is where it makes sense when Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Every time I say, what does that mean? This is exactly what that means. When you pick up your cross, you're focusing on the death. You're focusing on the things that Christ had to go through to win. He did not just stand up before Pilate and tell them, hey, look at me, I can walk on the water, you ain't. Hey, look at me, I can heal the sick, you can't even create a nothing. He didn't do all of that. He could do that, all of that in my mind. He didn't. He would just keep quiet. And they were mocking him, spit on him, doing all kinds of stupid and crazy things. But Jesus was holding his peace so calm and quiet. Why? Because where he is going, they can't. can't go. Where he is arriving, they will never arrive. Where God is calling him, they can't even see. But Jesus could see it. He endured the cross. He will walk before the joy where God is calling. All of a sudden, he will be elevated into the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Can somebody give the Lord round of applause? And Jesus was elevated. And he says, follow me as I build my kingdom. And when we follow the Lord, we pick up the cross and bite the tongue and swallow the pride, swallow the complaint, and move forward. Sometimes, this is what I learned in my marriage. I've been married 20 plus years. We didn't even know half of the battles that we fought together. We don't even remember the fights that we were fighting. We have not even a memory of what were we arguing, she says, and I say, I don't remember. So what the point is, your present conflicts will expire. They won't be with you forever. Guess who's be with you forever? The person that God assigned to you, the human being that God assigned to you is going to be with you. That relationship is more valuable than the content that we argue and work on, and that's not going to take us anywhere else. So it is important. Thank you, Garrison. Amen. So it's important that we understand in the fight how to fight fairly in a way. So these are a couple points, and these points may be new to someone. Maybe you're reviewing first time, or maybe you just know it, but just remember, sometimes when we learn, we forget, and then we got to remind all of us all the time, right? So this is important that you pay attention. Name the conflict without attacking the person. Name the conflict, choose the relationship. This has been my favorite phrase when I'm in the middle of the conflict. But I started with my marriage first thing. Like I wanted to say something, but is it worth it? Is she gonna love me again? Is she gonna tell me to sleep in the couch tonight? Is she gonna cook me today? No, maybe she's not gonna cook. I don't wanna say that. So I assess them, like, okay, is it gonna blessing? She's gonna fight back. You know, but there's some conversations I say, sweetheart, I have to let you know what I feel, because if I don't, you will never know gonna know what I feel, but I have to let you know. And I do it respectfully. I don't do respectfully, disrespecting or anything. I say, sweetheart, I love to do these things. I love for you to be this way and those kind of things. So choose the relationship over the conflict. It definitely changes everything. Healthy families do not bury every disagreement. They speak honestly, but they do not weaponize honesty. But sometimes the reason other person would be quiet, because when they're honest, they fear, the other person may take honesty as a weaponizing people. People do that. And if you say your weakness, you make fun of that weakness in front of other person. That's not why I share with you. I share with you to keep it between you and I. You don't bring this weakness in front of other person to laugh about me. And that's not fine. That's not good. And we sometimes do it. We think it's not a big deal, but that person, it's a big deal. When somebody is honest with you, you protect that honesty. That's what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus did. So healthy families do not bury every disagreement. They will have a disagreement. They'll work with it. They'll go through it. But they speak honestly. They'll tell, hey, I'm sorry, I messed this up. And or they tell, you know, I need to get better at this, right? So choose relationship over the need to win. Because your mind, your flesh will always want to win. And we all like that. We're winners. We want to win. We're more than conquerors. That's what we believe in. We win. But when it comes to conflict, when it comes to the fight, when it comes to those things, choose relationship over the need to win. And it is strength rooted in trust that God is control and not you. Then immediately your future can be secured. Well, I try to do this all the time. And I take a 30 seconds or 20 seconds pause, and I do this. You know, when I don't know y'all do this. When you're in emotion, you type it real quick, quick, like, I'm going to send this message to the person right now. Now you do that, right? I do that too. But thank God now we have that little button, rewrite it. Anybody has a rewrite button on the right? Right? And then rewrite it, rewrites it. Now I have another thing called, you can schedule that message, not today, maybe tomorrow, right? So when you schedule the message tomorrow, you wake up in the morning in a good mood, like, my bad, let me change that. You know, you go back and delete it or don't send the message. Great technology. We can leverage the technology. But it's amazing that when you're in a high horses at the moment, you want to let them have it. You want them to know how you feel. But the day later, you're like, I don't think it's needed. I'm just gonna not even send a message. I say, hey, thinking about you, praying for you. I'm gonna keep it simple, right? So when you choose relationship, then you will not crave to win. You will crave to bring them into a great place. So going back to how Abraham chose humility, because he's probably longing to see the grace. Remember when Abraham left his country, he was looking for a country of God, a country of godly thing. Because when you're focused on God, man, these little conflicts don't stop you, your destiny. You're going to be constantly moving forward to the destiny. And you always have eyes on the grace more than eyes on winning and conflict. When your eyes are on the grace, it just changes the whole trajectory. And Apostle Paul gives us a simple action items, and we're going to read through it, and we're going to be done. So these action items will help us to really process better and understand why Paul says this way. As you're reading it, I don't want you to buy into it right away. I want you to think through it. I want to allow this scripture to process your thinking process and regulate it through your mind, and so God can work with you. So Romans 12, verse 9 to 13. I'm going to read these words. These are application words that will be very helpful to you. Seasons your heart well. I want you to sleep well tonight. I want you to feel hopeful tomorrow. I want you to feel there's more days, better days are coming your way, but this is a seasoning, hopeful scriptures that God gives us through Apostle Paul. Romans 12, verse 9 to 13, it'll be on the screen. Love must be sincere. You see, sometimes we say, I love you, you know, it's great, right? But sometimes it's not sincere, right? Love must be sincere. And you got to develop how you're going to communicate. There's some people know how to communicate their emotions. Some people don't. Some people struggle. Some people say it in a way that they always train to say it. Some people don't know how to filter it. Some people don't know who their audience are, how to talk to them. It's a lot of learning. You know their audience is a great book to learn, because you can see if you talk to your family, how you talk to. If you talk to, you know, strangers, how do you talk to. If you talk to your teams, how do you talk to. It's just be sincere according to the audience, and that will bring you into a great level of maturity. And watch this, and immediately love and hate evil, they go together right away. Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, which is a great thing to do it. If you see evil, you gotta hate that. That doesn't mean you go fight and bring them into, you know, justice and do all that craziness. You gotta hate that evil. And cling to what God, what is good. I love this. Cling what is good and be devoted to one another. I love that kind of a phrase, right? Devoted to one another in love, not just devoting, but in love. Honor one another. That's another thing to do. We can honor one another above yourself. This is important to underline in your Bible. This simple principle changes the trajectory of your future. Every time, when you're in a secular job, when you're running a business, when you're running a church, when you're running a family, if you embrace this one principle, honor one another, watch this, above yourself. When you see them, when you agree, when you talk to them, help them to see that you honor them more than yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And these are three key attributes going to change your life. Number one is be joyful. In leadership, when we teach in Life Track, we talked about be joyful leader, be joyful team member, be joyful in hope, and be patient be patient in affliction. This is important, right? When you're going through struggle, when you're going through trial, that's when you need to be Be patient. It's crazy. Be patient. I have to exercise all the time. Like, I gotta remind her, be calm, be calm. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. Be calm, but be patient in applications. The third one is faithful in prayer, which is starting tomorrow morning. You can do a prayer. So, three attributes: joyful in hope. You always have to be joyful. That hope is never going to disappoint you. People may disappoint you. Things may disappoint you. Your job may disappoint you. But hope in Christ will never disappoint you. Paul says, hope in Christ will always exaggerate our grace in so many levels. So joyful in hope, patience in affliction, faithful in prayer. I'm going to repeat that until it sinks in. Joyful in hope, patience in affliction, faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope. Every time when you wake up, you say, God, it's a blessed day. And today, I don't care what people say, I'm going to make this day a beautiful day. I will walk in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth in Jesus' name. Amen. And then when you say, when afflictions goes in, you let your mind be turning to be a patient set. I'm going to put on a patient set. I let the people talk. I let the people cry. I let the people complain. I let the people, you become a trash can. Hold it out loud. Like, and throw it out. You throw it out, baby. I got the patience head right now. I can hold this tight. I can hold this tight. Why? Because I am a child of God. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let myself to be consumed by this affliction. I will hold this trash can for you to throw up. And then guess what? I will be faithful in prayer because I am a more than a conqueror. Can somebody give the Lord a round of applause? You are a more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. And God has a great recipe for us to exercise to win a fair fight as a shepherd's heart, a shepherd parent. Share with your Lord, with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Great scriptures. These are the scriptures we need to be sharing to our kids. I talked to my daughter. He says, love. My wife says, end of the week, we always say something good about each other. That's what my wife says. On a Friday, we sat down for a dinner, telling them my daughter started complaining about me that I didn't pick her up on time, you know, which I didn't. I missed it, you know, again. So she was complaining, Daddy didn't come at right time. I said, Mommy says, and then Mommy says, No. We're gonna end the week talk something good about each other. And everybody went in a circle. That Lily talked good about mother-in-law, Mommy and Daddy, and mother-in-law talked good about all of us. Wifey talked good about all of us. And me talked good about all of us. It's good to end that way. Because that's what hospitality is all about. We go through struggle. We struggle. But this is a beautiful way to end. And Romans 12, 16 to 18 says, live in harmony with one another. Beautiful, right? Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with the people of low position. This is Christian attitude. Be willing to associate with the people of a low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right. Watch this. In everyone's eyes. Not just God's eye. But do it right. Because people are watching you. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beautiful. This is Christians' attributes. We live in this beautiful way so that God can do amazing things. Going back to my Abraham story, Abraham did the right thing. Even though Lot pierced off, Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot experienced the wrath of God, Lot's children, you know, that the two girls that are born to Lot, made their own father drunk in wine, did the stupidest things, and they become Ammonites and Moabites. And go back all the way to the future, and there's a young lady who was born in Lot's genealogy in Moabites. Her name is Ruth. And Ruth came back to associate with Naomi and come back to Jerusalem. Now, Ruth, who came from Abraham's Lot's genealogy, came back and married Boaz, who's connected to the Lot's life. And God united them back again. And guess what? And he gave a birth to Obed. Yes, give the Lord a round of applause. He gave a birth to Obed. And the Obed gave birth to who? King David, the man after God's own heart. Can somebody give the Lord a round of applause? Don't you dare tell me humility does not work. Humility will go from generation after generation after generation after generation until God gets the glory. I feel so good about this stuff because God wants you to walk in humility because the blessing is coming your way in the future. You may not see it today, but tomorrow your children will reap a great harvest of your humility. Can somebody give the Lord a round of applause? And that's the story of a fighting fair. Some people may think you're crazy, but Abraham knew one of these days my nephew will become part of me. But it may not be today, one day. Thank God for Ruth. Thank God for Boaz. Thank God for Obed. Thank God for King David. Thank God through King David, we got a Messiah whom we call a Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Come on, somebody give the Lord a round of applause. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was born of a conflict. Isn't that interesting? Jesus came into existence through a man who learned to fight fair. And here God is speaking to all of us. This world will teach you otherwise. The systems that we are working for will teach you otherwise. But you need to become a follower of Christ. I need to become a follower of Christ. So peace, something we practice. It's not something that's going to come upon us. We practice. Take responsibility of your part of peace. Whatever that is, that means maybe apologizing today to your loved ones. Maybe that means listening to your loved ones. Maybe that means lowering your voice a little bit down. Maybe setting a healthy boundaries or returning to a difficult conversation after prayer. I've learned something with my wife. When we want to have a serious conversation, I pray by myself. I do pray. And then I ask her, can we pray together before we talk? And I pray. In the prayer, I ask the Lord to come in and give us wisdom. Because at the end of the day, it's not about what we're fighting. It's about our relationship. It's about what we're becoming through this. It's about what we can do with our life through this. So, same principle applicable to your employees, employers, bosses, and everyone. So these are three things I'm gonna leave it on the altar for you. Or ask God to speak to you for it today. I'd like to just take a 30 seconds of break to just kind of process this. And I love God to tell you. What is God is telling you through Genesis 13 and Romans 12? What is God is telling you? And what is God is telling you about people through these passages? And what is the one thing we can do today? If you believe something we need to obey today, what is one thing you know obey? I know I read through Romans 12 quickly, but go home and just try, think about through. What is the one thing I can do? Maybe you need to ask apology. Maybe you need to listen. Maybe you need to let them know that why you raise your voice. Back in the day when I first got married to my wife, I used to talk loud. I still do loud because, not because I preach and, you know, all that. But I never understood why my wife got upset when I speak loud. And I like connected the dots. We grew up in India. India is a noisy country. And especially my house was right next to one of the highways. Like 4 a.m. in the morning, there's a honks going, all the time. So when we talk, we have to talk loud. Because there's so much noise outside. And I came to America with that kind of mindset and talking to my wife loud. And she goes, why are you raising your voice? I said, no, I'm not raising, I'm talking. She said, that's not talking, you're raising your voice. And I connected the dots. Wait a minute, I came from India. India, we do loud because there's so much noise. And I explained to my wife, she said, now I get it. It's a simple conversation. It avoids misunderstanding, avoids misinterpretation, avoids miscommunication. So what is the one thing that you could do to obey today? 30 seconds. And as you take in the 30 seconds, just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself to pray, to fight fair, to have a shepherd's heart, to become a shepherd parent, to walk in patience, to walk in humility, to walk in grace. God, we're so thankful and grateful this afternoon, this week, as you're speaking to us today, God. Help us to, Lord, understand that the conflicts are real, the fights will happen, but help us not to become victims, but to become a victors. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to every one of us. God, we pray for this week as we get up tomorrow morning to take our children back to school, as we get up to go to our grinding stone, as we get up to go to work, business, ministry, whatever that looks like. Prepare our hearts, Lord, so that your kingdom will prevail. Thank you for your grace upon every one of us, Lord. We need you so much, Lord. Sometimes we think we don't, but without you, we are nothing. Without you, we cannot accomplish the true meaning of life. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come your way, have your way, and lead us through every single fight and conflict, disagreement, miscommunication. Thank you for your grace upon us, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's no one else like you, Lord. I hope God is speaking to you. Have him speak to you. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound.
Let it be a sweet,
sweet
sound. Let it be
a sweet, sweet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just want to give three ways to fight fair as a shepherd parent. Name the conflict without attacking the person this week. Choose the relationship over the need to win. And the third one is own your part. Apologize, listen, return to the conversation. So God will bless you so many ways. God did not put you in your family to win every argument. I don't care how strong your vocabulary is. I don't care how strong your intelligence is. That is not the winning. God did not put you in that family to win every argument. He placed you there to become more like Jesus in the middle of every disagreement. And that's the winning recipe right there. We need this winning recipe in our hearts. Arguments could destroy lives. Nobody gets married thinking about they're going to go through divorce. But we allow the dysfunction to reign and lead, cause pain in our communities, and children suffer. Children have to pay a brutal price just because we have not taught how to be humble and how to think right. I pray this message is going to help all of us to be a better parent, be a better adult, most importantly, to be a better follower of Christ. God, we're so thankful and grateful this morning, Lord, speaking to us, seasoning our hearts, that we will not be forgotten, we will not be forgotten, and we won't forget. And we give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Did you receive something this morning? If you did, give the Lord a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I like to, you know, always add on something as we come Sundays to give you guys more things so that until we see next time, you know, you kind of remember. Life groups are going to be coming up pretty soon, next month. This is a great opportunity for you to take the sermons that we've been preaching, and I have all the notes so far the entire year that we preached. We'll give it to you guys. Lead someone outside the church or even within the church. So if you want to be a life group coach, we have two training days are coming up, and those are on the screen. August 23rd, that's next Sunday, 6 p.m. And then August 29th, at 10 a.m. after prayer and after potluck, we'll do a coach training, and we'll give you all the resources, how to lead a life group, how to become a shepherd parent to someone, even in your own family, you know, so you could lead your families, you can lead your friends. So if that's something God is calling you, just go ahead and scan the QR code and be part of the life groups, fall life groups. And we're going to continue the prayers, but this is something we're adding to it. If you're a single mom, you want to do single mom's life group, it's great. If you have a dog, you're a dog lover, you want to take dogs to walk and have devotions, it's great to do that. Or men's as well. So we have a men's group going on. Give you more details on that. So we're excited for fall life groups. So hopefully you could be part of that as well. If you could just stand to your feet, we're going to worship the Lord so that we can go grab your children, go home and talk about what you learned today. If you're here this morning, if you never met Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to this moment, into this prayer, and ask God to just come into your heart. Sometimes we try everything, sometimes we've been through everywhere, but we need the Spirit of God to heal and restore and help us to go right direction. So we're going to pray the prayer, and after that, if anybody needs a prayer, our elders, prayer team will be here to pray for you, pray with you. And we're going to worship, and you're welcome to quietly walk away, or you can sit down here, just process it, or pray together, worship together, whatever God leads you to do, do it. But if you're here, my friend, if you're watching us online, if you never made Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you could just make the decision today and say, God, I'm surrendering my life to you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I thought I know everything, but I don't. I need you, Lord. A simple prayer will lead you into eternal life, my friend. And I'll pray with you if you just repeat after me and believe in your heart and watch what the Spirit of God will do. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Today, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead for my eternal life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive all my sins. Grant me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. My friend, if you pray that prayer, you were in the family of God. Come on, church, somebody give them a big round of applause for prayer. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And if you're here and you need a prayer, don't be shy. Just come on up. We're not gonna embrace you. We're not gonna ask you too many questions. We're just gonna pray. Anybody that have a lanyard, could also pray with you. But as you're walking out, just high-five someone, hug someone. If you learn something to praise God, just praise God as we worship. If you could just lift that hand before heaven, we're going to pray blessings. Lord, we're so thankful, God. Thankful for today. We bless you with the word of God. We bless you with the presence of Jesus Christ. We bless you with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Go home knowing that he will go before you as a consuming fire. Make every impossible possible for you. Would you please give the Lord one more round of applause for this amazing, amazing day. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. on Zoom. God bless you.
Thank you for being part of our community. For more information, please go to cjclife.com. If God lays it in your heart to partner with us, please give and bring your first fruits to honor God so that we can continue to move the mission forward. Again, thank you and God bless.